Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, in 30 minutes' time, the European Commission's Maroš Šefčovič will unveil proposed changes to post-Brexit arrangements for Northern Ireland. The new proposals are expected to dramatically reduce checks and paperwork for goods that are travelling from Britain to Northern Ireland, which is the main problem raised by the protocol since it took effect. But yesterday, London's Brexit Minister, David Frost, who himself negotiated the protocol with the EU, changed the emphasis of his criticisms of the deal, insisting the role of the European Court of Justice must now be removed. Well, we're going to bring you details of the proposed changes when we hear them from the European Commission this evening. But before that, we're joined now by the leader of the most popular unionist party, that's according to the recent polls, Doug Beattie of the Ulster Unionist Party. And thank you very much for joining us this evening, Doug, on the programme. Very good, thank you. And as I say, Maroš Šefčovič is due to outline the proposals a little later on this evening, but the contents of what we are expecting have been widely leaked, and Simon Coveney, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, was talking about them on the News at One earlier today. In terms of your understanding of what proposals we'll hear from Brussels this evening, do you think they will address your concerns?
They'll certainly address some of the concerns, and they've got to be welcome. Remember, we've been arguing about this protocol since 2019, you know, nearly over 2 years now, in fact. And we have for the last 10 months been told that the protocol cannot be changed in any form. And here we are today about to get recommendations to change that protocol. And that is very welcome, because there are real and genuine issues that need to be dealt with. And I think the EU are bringing forward very clear and in some ways very pragmatic solutions, but they do not stand alone. They need to be looked at with the UK's command paper from July of this year. But what we need to do is make sure that we do engage to come up with something which is a solution for the months to come. Mm. And I believe in more engagement, not less. I spoke with both Lord Frost and the EU ambassador yesterday. I'm speaking with Maroš Šefčovič tomorrow. I spoke with the Irish Taoiseach last Friday, and therefore I'm really up for having a good conversation. But we need time and space to make sure that this is done right, and what we can't do is be negative right from the very start.
Okay. I might get back to the proposals from the EU in just a second and the details on that. But firstly, when you were speaking to David Frost yesterday, was that before or after he announced that the European Court of Justice was now a major problem for the UK?
Well, actually, I mean, yesterday wasn't when he first announced that it was a major problem. If you look at the command paper in July of this year, it's quite clear that he made that issue then about the European Court of Justice. So this is not something new. And in fact, we have mentioned this for the last 2 years. It is an issue that has been mentioned. I think people seem to think that it suddenly just appeared. I think maybe it's just got prominence. But what I would say in that is simple. You know, you have the UK government, which are trying to be the most reasonable man in the room, but they've given a red line, which is the European Court of Justice. And you have the EU, who are trying to be the most reasonable man in the room. And they have said, well, the European Court of Justice is their red line as well. And what we'll do is, through negotiation,
let's be fair, because that's not what has happened here, really, is it? There has been concerns raised about the protocol over the supply and regulation of medicines. There's been concerns over the SBS issue, which is the idea of chilled meats and sausage wars, is how it was put, and the vast amount of checks that were required under the protocol for sausages and other chilled meats to come from Britain to Northern Ireland. And those are all, it looks like, going to be addressed by the EU this evening. And as soon as the EU addresses those issues, the British government changes the goalposts and changes the emphasis and says, well, we'll take all of that and now fix this European Court of Justice issue, which we signed up to a year ago.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. They signed up to a bad deal a year ago. You know, I've said this from the very start, that the UK government were wrong to sign up to this deal. But for anybody to sit and say that the European Court of Justice has not been an issue and has never been spoken about is simply wrong. If you just look at the command paper from July of this year, you'll see it all over it. And in fact, you know, one of the real issues that we raised in regards to the protocol was a democratic deficit. And that is, there is laws that we have to take, which we have got absolutely no say of. And we've been saying this for the last 2 years, so I don't know what people have been listening to, but it has been mentioned.
Well, people have been listening to the British government when they've said, we've got a good deal and we've signed it a year ago. That's what people have been listening to. They've been taking the British government by their word.
But a year ago, 2 years ago, we said it was a bad deal.
And then you signed it, you know?
Yes, they said a bad deal.
Like, how does anyone negotiate with this, with the government that keeps changing the goalposts and keeps taking and taking is what it looks like? Because the British government has raised a whole load of issues with the protocol. The EU, it appears to me, has looked at it and has changed a lot of the issues, the practical issues that were affecting people in Northern Ireland, were affecting businesses. Practically, they've said there won't be a problem with medicines. We're going to change the EU law to make sure there won't be a problem with medicines. We're going to make sure that there's going to be a very minimal number of checks on chilled meats. And we heard all about the sausage wars a couple of months ago. We're going to reduce customs controls significantly. And the British government turn around and say, yes, we'll take all of that. And now we want to go back and tear up another part of the protocol that we signed up to a year ago and take out the European Court of Justice. I'm just wondering, how are you meant to negotiate with that, you know, from the EU's perspective?
It was a bad deal 2 years ago when it was first appeared on the 2nd of October 2019. It was a bad deal then. We said it was a bad deal then. We have been working to fix that bad deal for 2 years, not 2 weeks. Not for the last 24 hours, for the last 2 years, we've been trying to fix that bad deal. And for the last 10 months, we've been told that we can't change anything. And here we are about to get massive changes. You seem to think that I'm here to defend the UK government for signing up to a bad deal. I'm not. They signed up to a bad deal. What I'm looking for is, how do we go forward? What do we do to make this better for the people here in Northern Ireland? Because I'm sick of having Northern Ireland in the middle of the EU and the UK having a football match, and we happen to be the football. So I'm looking at a way forward. So what I'm saying is, people need the time and the space to negotiate. The EU will have their red line. The UK have got their red line. They will find something in between which will be able to move us forward. Time and space and cool heads.
We're going to be speaking to Aidan Connolly from the Northern Ireland Retail Consortium a little later in the programme. We've had a little conversation with him in advance of the programme, and he seems to be really happy with the changes that the EU is proposing. Yeah. And they're also saying that the role of the European Court of Justice has never once been raised as a problem with them. Has it been raised as a problem? Are people stopping you on the street and saying, you know what's really bothering me is the European Court of Justice?
Some people are, if I'm really honest with you, but again, I'm going to say this, and I seem to have to repeat myself, that it has been raised. It was raised, and it's in the command paper. Please read it, July of this year, and it's full of it. And people have raised it.
What status is the command paper supposed to have to anyone, Doug? That is a command paper that's been drawn up by the British government after the negotiations and the deal have been signed. This is then their wish list post-deal. You know, why should anyone pay any attention to that? That's their, oh, whoops, we didn't get what we want, this is what we'd really want list. You know, why should anyone assign any importance to that from the EU's perspective?
Here's why you pay attention to it, Sarah, because it's affecting people. It's affecting people's lives.
And can you explain to me how the European Court of Justice affects people's lives on the streets in Northern Ireland?
Well, it affects people's lives. I mean, I can say this now for the next 12 months, and I understand that the European Court of Justice in regards to trade arbitration in the next 12 months will be very light touch. But I've got no idea what it will be in 5 years, no idea what it will be like in 10 years or 15 years. But as a Northern Ireland politician, I will have no say over this. There is a democratic deficit. So it has got an issue. So what I'm saying, and again, sir, I've got to say this to you, you seem to think that I'm here batting for one side or the other. I'm not. I'm batting for Northern Ireland. And what I want to do is come up with a deal. And if there's a grey area between what the EU want and the UK want, well, then let's get in there and let's talk about it and negotiate
I suppose if we're back to the issue of negotiating and how negotiations work and the issue of trust. I don't know if you heard Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, the speaking earlier today. And he was saying, you know, countries around the world would have to be looking at what's going on here and thinking twice about doing a deal with the British government if they're going to renege on a deal or threatening to renege on a deal that they signed a year ago. So let's just play out what you're suggesting for a second and say that the EU do a new deal and say we'll take out the European Court of Justice and we'll give you all the things that you want. What's to say? What trust could the EU possibly have that in another couple of months we won't have another command paper saying we also want X, Y and Z as well? You know, when trust is gone, trust is gone.
Right. So if I take that from what you're saying, then we have no way of going forward, sir. We have no way of building these bridges. We have no way of fixing the problem that we have. I don't accept that. I accept the fact is that myself, as somebody who has a particular issue in regards to this, because I'm here from Northern Ireland, I fully understand the place that the EU want to be. I understand what the UK government have done in the past and where they want to go in the future. I fully understand these, and I want to try and build bridges. I want to fix this. I want to get a solution. What I want is stability and certainty for the people here in Northern Ireland, because above all else, that's what I'm concerned about. Above all else, I'm concerned about the Belfast Good Friday agreement. I'm worried about relationships between people in this part of this island, this part of the United Kingdom. And that's what's concerning me, because you know what? A brick will turn into a petrol bomb. A petrol bomb will turn into a coffin. And I don't want to see that.
And so, do you think there's any realistic chance of that happening because of the European Court of Justice?
I believe there's a realistic chance that Stormont could collapse.
Because of the European Court of Justice?
Yeah, because of the European Court of Justice issues, yes. I'm saying this to you, sir. You're asking me, and I'm honestly giving you a fair answer here. I have a concern that because of the democratic deficit, that the Stormont could collapse. And if Stormont collapsed, there will be a power vacuum. And a power vacuum, as we all know, can lead to violence. So I am absolutely being honest here. I'm not saying that's going to happen. What I'm saying is I'm willing to talk to anybody and everybody. And I have not withdrawn from any talks with anybody whatsoever. And neither will I. But I just want to make sure that we come up with a solution that helps everybody.
Last week at a fringe discussion at the Conservative Party conference, David Frost was saying that the changes to the protocol were urgently needed, partly, he said, because of the very strong growth of north-south trade in Ireland. And quite a lot of attention was put in those comments as to whether or not that's the real opposition to the protocol, is that it is encouraging north-south trade as opposed to east-west trade. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, listen, I want Northern Ireland to work. I want Northern Ireland to benefit from whatever is out there, and we can benefit in order to grow this part of Northern Ireland. I want to grow our economy. Our economy will help with a good health system, a good education system, a good infrastructure. So I want Northern Ireland to work.
Apparently it is working. Apparently the north-south trade is going really well, you know, and businesses in Northern Ireland are sort of delighted by the sounds of things with what the EU is proposing, you know. And what the Northern Ireland Retail Consortium is saying to us, we're really happy, absolutely wonderful. It's a bloody big jump from the EU, is what Aidan Connolly is saying to us.
Yeah, and what he's also saying, and if you listen to him, is he wants stability and he wants certainty, and that businesses will work to whatever's put in front of them. But what they want is something that is going to be there and is going to have a degree of longevity. But what we have here, sir, is a feast or famine. There is absolutely people who are benefiting from this protocol, without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm the first to stand up and say there are people benefiting, but there are other people who are not benefiting. And if you look at our aviation industry, if you look at the fact that you can't get duty-free when you fly from Belfast to a European country, you know, you will suddenly realise that we are at a disadvantage here as well. So it's feast or famine. All I want is feast for everybody. We have to work at that.
We do indeed. Doug Beattie, very interesting to talk to you, and thank you very much for joining us on the programme this evening. That's Doug Beattie of the Ulster Unionist Party. And as I said, we're expecting to hear those proposals from the European Commission's Maros Sefcovic later in the programme, and we will bring those to you as we hear them.